very familiar passage of Scripture. It's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. In the context, it's speaking of Jesus, our high priest. We don't have man as a priest, but we have Jesus as our priest. In the context, verse 14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest, Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession or confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now notice where you find the grace at. At the throne of grace. It's the only place you're going to get it. So I have a question for you this morning. Are you in need of frapping? Don't look at me. Frapping. F-R. I'm going to spell it for you, okay? Not a whipping. So don't think that. It's a nautical term. And that's what this word here is, help. In the Greek, it says boetheia, which means basically it's defining it. Let me go over to Acts 27 and show you clearly what's being said here. Acts 27 and verse 17. This is in the storm when they were on a ship. Paul's being transported to Rome. And the ship was being driven by the wind. And in verse 16 of Acts 27, and running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship in fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. So that word right there, helps, is the same word as in Hebrews 4:16, boetheia. It's very interesting because the next word after that, undergirding the ship, is what it's talking about, frapping the ship. Now, this comes from a nautical term. And a lot of you contractors know something about this, believe it or not, because a lot of us have these tie downs, right? That we tie down things on our trucks or we tie down things on our trailers. And they come with a little ratchet on them. And you put that around your tractor. It's on that trailer. And you ratchet it until it's what? Until it's tight. What are you doing? You're making it secure. You're aiding it. You're supporting it. Because you don't want to drive that down a road without some support, because that thing can fall off and cause a big trouble. And so that's why I'm asking you a question. Do you need frapping? Because it simply means support or help. Aid, assistance. And I'll answer the question for you. Yes. How bad do you need help? Do you need it as bad as I do? So you need help? Yes, I do. But this is very important to understand this thing, because this is what I want to talk about this morning. It's about God's willingness. He wants us to need that frapping in our life. That doesn't mean we're going to tie you down around a chair and ratchet you down, though we would like to do that to our children, I'm sure, sometimes. Maybe you'd like to do it to somebody else, but that's not what he's saying here. They need your support. They need your help. We all need God's support. We all need God's help. And that's why it's telling us in Hebrews chapter 4 to come boldly unto his throne of grace, that we may be able to find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. And when is the time of need? Well, it's probably about 24/7. It's pretty often. And so over and over again, the Bible tells us about this. Now, there are different translations I've got here that translate Acts 27, and they say this about it. This is a New International Version. So the men hoisted it aboard, then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because those ships were made out of board. And you know that they could be broken up and fall apart and crash and sink. New Living Translation. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars. English Standard Version. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. So you're getting a picture here. This is what the helps is about, that God wants to undergird us and support us and assist us. New American Standard Bible. After they hoisted it up, they used supporting cables in undergirding the ship. King James Version says, once when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. And it goes on and on like that. Now, Peter Lang commentary speaks about this. He says, such aids or helps consisted of cables, chains, which were passed under the keel of the vessel in order to bind the planks together as tightly as possible. In mechanics, the ancients understood supports, undergirding, technically termed frapping, consist in passing cables or other large ropes under the keel, over the gunwales, and then drawing them tight by means of pulleys and levers. Okay? So God wants to support us, and he's going to do that using this term frapping. God wants to help us. I mean, God is for us. He's not against us. So no matter what you're going through in life, I mean, Hebrews 4 says, help in a time of need. And I think sometimes people have a need and they don't want to admit it. And that's what you need to be aware of. I mean, how often have you thought in your life, I mean, just thought, Lord, I need help. Just thought it. Maybe you didn't ask for it, but you thought, I need help. Ever thought ever going through your mind? But often in Scripture you find this term. Psalms 46 and verse 1 says, he's a very present help when? In the time of trouble. So when there's trouble, guess who's there to support you? The Lord is. He's always there. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. And then in Psalms 115, three times, interestingly. Psalms 115, let's see, I think it's 9, 10, 11. Yeah, Psalms 115, verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So he would tell them to trust in the Lord. Why? Because he is your help and your shield. Verse 10. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now notice, verse 9 and verse 10, the key is trust the Lord because he is your help. Then verse 11 says, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help. So three times it uses trust. And the word fear there is in Proverbs 14, verse 26, which says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. So we have a real strong trust in the Lord. That's when he will be our help. It's not just, you know, Lord, I need help. It's more than that, folks. You're just really in a situation where you see a dire need in your life. I can't do without God's help. You need his help. And so in Psalms 124 and verse 8, see, somebody back here needs the Lord's help. Psalms 124 and verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, if he made the heaven and earth and he's our help, I mean, that's what more could you want than that? And then Psalms 121. Back up a little bit to verse 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Whoa. Is that true? Some people would think so. But see, I told you before, they in the old days, when the hills was where they had all their idols and images, and they would look to those for their help. Now, what can an idol do for you? Not a thing. It's vain. It's useless. Then he says this in verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, not the hills, which made heaven and earth. So our help comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from idols. It doesn't come from the hills. And so we need to remember that in all of our lives. I mean, and then in Psalms 146 and verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. So there are some places you can get no help whatsoever. I mean, you know, you think that the government can help you? Forget it. Doesn't work. Verse 11, verse 5 says, happy or blessed is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So our hope is in the Lord and our help comes from him. And so, who do you go to in time of trouble? I mean, stop and think about it. Who do you really go to in time of trouble? When you've got a real serious situation in your life, do you just run to anybody or do you go to the Lord? A lot of times we go to the wrong person. You go to the person you're the closest to. I mean, and that's what you got to be careful of, that person that you're closest to is somebody that is trustworthy and is somebody that knows the Lord. And you have the confidence in your heart to that. I mean, worldly people go to somebody they hang out with. I mean, they'll go to the wrong source. They go to a psychologist or a therapist. I told you what the therapist is, isn't it? You take that word and break it down. It's called the rapist, because that's all they do to your mind, is they rape your mind from the truth. They steal from you. But people run to the banks, insurance companies, and everywhere else, or the neighbor, but the help is in vain, the Bible tells us. So we got to be careful. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 tells us more about it. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. So the time of need is very important, folks, because it's not a time that we don't need God's help in our life. So this frapping is about taking up the slack and tightening things up. And sometimes we need to have things tightened up in our life if we want the Lord's help. So the example of the way this is used in Luke chapter 5 and verse 7 in the context when people said, nevertheless, at thy word. Remember Peter said that? When he said, cast out the net and catch some fish. And Peter was looking at that and thinking, well, there ain't no fish out there. They're right there by the shore. And he was a fisherman. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word. And he did that. And then he had so many fish, he'd go out there and he asked for their help. In the context, he helped them fill the ship. He assisted them. Supported him. You ever needed that kind of help where you need somebody to come along and to assist you and to help you in something you got to do? You're in a big situation. Maybe you're lifting something heavy. You try to do it on your own. But you need somebody to help you. So you need support. You need some help. Luke 10:40, Martha was all encumbered by as much serving. And she said, Lord, speaking about Martha, Lord, ask her to help me. She needed help. Because she was doing all the serving all on her own, and other people just standing around, just kind of, you know, watching, twiddling their thumbs. I've been around people like that. You can be out there working, and they can I help you? No, they just sit back and say, I ain't going to help him. They just want you to do the work on your own. And then in Matthew 15:22, the Canaanite woman said, Lord, help me. Now you read that context in Matthew 15, you realize the Lord did help her. Then in Romans 8:26, when it comes to time of prayer, it says, the Lord helpeth us, he helpeth my weakness in prayer. Our infirmities, well, it means weaknesses. Because we need help in prayer. We need it all the time. So basically, when you look at this word here, we're talking about help. Use support. Aid. Even assistance. So that's what the meaning of it is. That's what you need, folks. That's what we all need in our lives. Whether you want to, you know, you could put another word up there, relief. I mean, in the storms of life. They were going through a storm, and sometimes we go through the storms of life. And we need relief from those things. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. For in that he himself, that is Christ, has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted, or aid or help them. That's what that word secure means. Same Greek word. He's able to aid them, to relieve them. And then when you look in the Old Testament for the word help, you find the primary sense of it is deliver or to help. And to it's the same concept as the New Testament. God wants to aid you. God wants to assist you. He wants to be there for you in whatever you're going through something. I mean, you find yourself going through a very hard trial, great temptations, hardships in life. I mean, you know, sometimes you feel like you just want to throw a towel in and give up, quit. God doesn't want you to do that because he wants to help you. And so in Acts chapter 11 and verse 29, we understand this too because we have done this ourselves. Have we ever helped anybody? Yes, we have. Acts 11 and verse 29. This is a time when there was a great famine that was going on. And verse 29 said, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, notice how it was, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So there were people that were in dire need. So what did they do? They sent relief to them. Just like we did to West Virginia. Those people had lost everything. And so we sent relief. People do that in hurricanes and storms and various different things. They send relief. They send help. They aid people. They support people. And that's what we're supposed to do too, is to support one another, is to help one another, and to aid one another. God wants to do it for us. He wants us to do it for one another. Because we're talking about here, have you ever needed financial assistance? Who comes along and helps you? Well, you say, well, people know. The Lord will come along and help you, because he says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. So if God will supply it and he will aid you and support you, he will take care of whatever you're going through in life. And so in Hebrews chapter 2 with Hebrews 4:16, you can see we need help in time of temptation, because that's the context of both of them. So when you're in temptation sometimes, do you need some support or aid? It's nice to have it. But you know, we face all kinds of things daily. The Bible says, you know, that there's many temptations we go through. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says there's no temptation that is taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the same temptation make a way for you to escape, that you might be able to endure it. So God is going to give you a way of escape, folks, no matter what you find yourself in. But the question is, are we really looking and asking for that? Because, you know, you can just be going through something and think, I'll tough it out. Are you tough enough to tough it out? Be careful. Because that's where pride comes in. You say, I can handle this. I can do it. Not on your own, you can't. You need God's help, folks. You need his help in everything you go through in life. I mean, and sometimes we find ourselves at going through situations. James chapter 1 tells us about trials. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That just simply means various kinds of temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith is going to work endurance. Or in other words, it's going to work for your good. But let patience or endurance have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. And so, I mean, you ever been around somebody, I mean, where somebody is difficult to work with, somebody is difficult to deal with, maybe at work or something like that, or maybe at school, somebody you are close to, difficult person, you ever been around anybody like that? Am I in the right place here?
Yes.
Then what do you do with something like that? You say, well, I'll just punch them in the nose or something. Well, that ain't right. I'll trip them up. Well, no, the Bible says here, verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. He doesn't rebuke him for it, and it shall be given. So in other words, he's saying here, in the context, in your trial, you need God's wisdom. Ecclesiastes 10:10 tells us that wisdom is profitable for direction. So in other words, it's going to put you in the right direction. And sometimes we don't stop and say, Lord, I need wisdom to deal with this person. I need wisdom to deal with this financial situation. I need wisdom to deal with this circumstance. When we start asking God for something, it's saying, I need help, Lord. Particularly, I need wisdom. And God will begin to grant that to you. And so we face all these different temptations, and it tells us here that we're supposed to ask God for help. And asking God for wisdom is asking him for help. How many of y'all got a debit card? Nobody got a debit card? I had one too. I got rid of it. And the reason I did is because my checking account got all messed up. You know why? Because you got two people in the family that are using the debit card. Now, it's not her. I mean, the thing would come in and you try to bounce your checking account and you find out something's not right. It doesn't come out right. So I'd see these things on her and I'd go to her and say, did you charge this? Did you do this? She said, yeah, yeah. But then I found that I was doing a lot of that too. And before you know it, my account was getting really messed up real bad. I mean, I had less than I thought I had. So I went to the bank and I closed that account out and left a little bit in it to cover anything that might be there. And I opened another one up and started over. And I said, I don't want a debit card. She said, you want a card? No, I don't want it. I'm going to charge everything from now on and pay it at the end of the month. So I got rid of it. And now I got me a card simply which I get 4% back on groceries, so she can use it at the grocery store and I make money back. That's called wisdom. And then I got some receipts now. I put my receipts, I got about these little bags that are, you can see through bags. And I put all the receipts written across it, American Express. And I got one that's written across it. It's Costco, Citibank now. And so we put our receipts in those bags so at the month when the statement comes in, I can see that those things have been done. They've been paid for, and I got the receipts in the bag, and I can check and bounce those things. And so when I pay it once a month, and so when my statement comes in, which just came in, it reconciled to the penny. And I like that. I don't like to be like Mr. Moore and just say, don't worry about the cents. You know, but that gets you in trouble. So a debit card is not always a good thing to have because, I mean, some of you probably have had your debit card violated several times. I know some people in this church that have, so don't sit there and pretend like you haven't. And there's something inside about that that goes on that people are using that, have access to that, because when you put your PIN number in there, they have access to that kind of stuff. And they can compromise your card. So that's just a little bit of wisdom in time of financial trouble, difficulty, hardship, where you make mistakes. Say, Lord, I mean, I can do better than this. I know I can, because you said if I asked for wisdom, you'd give it to me. Matthew 26 and verse 41 says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, do we even bother to do that? Watch, keep your eyes open, stay alert, and pray. I mean, you know, he says, pray for your daily bread. Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Well, if we do that, God will guide us and direct us. So you need wisdom sometimes to deal with some things, and you ask God. You know, a lot of people have knowledge. They know things about certain things, but they don't know everything about life. They might have knowledge, they might have an education. They might be smart to a certain degree, but it doesn't mean they have the wisdom that God wants you to have, because we're talking about something that is higher than man's knowledge. Because wisdom is the ability to put the knowledge together and to understand things and to work them out. And this is what God wants us to have. I mean, sometimes you can't work out your relationships. You can't work out relationships on the job, at home, with your children, with your husband, with your wife. What do you need? You need help. You need support. Ain't nobody in here needs it more than I do. You want to argue over that one? We can weigh that if you want to. But if we need help, we know where we got to go, because if we don't go there, we're not going to get help. That'd be the opposite, right? Because if you don't ask God for it, then you don't expect anything to happen. And we have a promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Remember, that's a promise. No matter what temptation you find yourself in, God is allowing that to happen. God may permit it to take place. He knows what's going on. But at the same time, God is there to support you, to protect you. He is your friend. He has never leave you nor forsake you. He will get you through it. But you got to trust that. I mean, that's, let me put that up here, because I think that's just as important as anything in the Bible. Faith. We call it faith, trust. To trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and what will he do? He will direct thy paths. Now, if you want God to direct you in life, you got to learn not to lean to your own understanding and to put your effort and your trust in the Lord and believe that he can work things out for you. And if you don't believe that, then it's not going to work for you. I mean, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So a lot of times we try to be wise in our own eyes. We think we're smarter than anybody else. We try to figure everything out on our own accord. And that's where you get into a whole lot of trouble. I mean, suppose Joseph had tried that in the Old Testament when he had Potiphar's wife try to seduce him. What did he do? He ran. He got himself out of that place. He took off running. He flew from that. Fleed, whatever. He took off from that. He got away from the situation. So don't put yourself in harm's way. Be careful who you associate with, who you're around, who you get close to. I mean, God's help is often very, very practical in escaping temptations. I mean, Proverbs 1:10 says, if a sinner entice you in the way, consent thou not. Not many people here can say no to other people, especially somebody who might be close to you, somebody you know. been a friend all your life, went to school with him and been ran around with him, and he's been nice, he goes to church, but all of a sudden something begins to change, and now he's trying to get you to do something that's unethical, something that is crude, something that maybe drink or smoke or do something, and you're listening to that and you're consenting to it. Now that's putting yourself in what I call harm's way. So you say, what do? You ever heard of the word no? No. I'm not going to do that. So, well, you'll lose a friend. Have you really lost a friend? Or have you lost somebody who's just simply a tempter? That the devil's got a hold of him. He's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you know who's trying to devour? It's you. He wants to bring you down with him. So you got to watch out for these kind of people. So God helps us, and he's very practical. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. In the context here, it says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he's telling us what to get away from when he says flee. Run away from these people, the youthful lust. Follow righteousness. So what is righteousness? It's doing what is right. Faith, charity, or love, peace. And who's with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So you want to be around people who have a pure heart because they call on the Lord, they're sincere about their faith, and they're not a fake. They don't put on a show. And a whole lot of people can go to church and put on a show, and yet they're opposite outside of the church. That means they're fakes. They're not true to their heart. Not true to the Lord. So he says, be careful of those people. So I don't think it's rocket science that we're supposed to avoid certain things. Certain people around. I mean, who wants to be involved in watching lustful movies or being on the internet chat rooms? Who wants to do those kind of things? I don't think anybody should want to do that. Or talking to strangers, or even trying to, you know, becoming friends with somebody who's a stranger. Running with your friends that smoke and drink. I mean, I know some people have those kind of friends, but I'm going to tell you what, they're not friends, folks. They're basically an enemy that the devil's using to overthrow you. I mean, why would you want to be around somebody who wants to pull you down? Associate with somebody. Your associations are very important. And God wants to help you with all of that. So if you go down a list and start making a checklist, maybe you do need to have something tied down around you to tie you in a chair for a week so you can learn not to go around these people and keep away from them. Because the Lord wants to give you the kind of aid you need, but he can't give it to you if you're going to be doing your own thing and not paying attention to him. How are you going to overcome the criticism, the covetousness, the gossip, the anger? The only way you can overcome any of those things is by the Lord's help. That's what Hebrews 4 is there for. Come boldly under the throne of grace that you might find mercy for forgiveness and grace to help in the time of need. You need it. We all need it. To deny that is to be a fool. I mean, people do a lot of things that are, I think we would say, is foolish. 1 Corinthians 10:12 gives us a warning to all of us in the context of the promise, no temptation has taken us. Verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand. So if you think you stand and you're okay, you're strong, and you can handle on your own, we'll read the rest. Take heed lest you fall. So if a person thinks he stands and he's okay, everything's going to be fine, then you need to be careful here because lest you fall. Because there might be a situation right in front of you that's about to happen. If you don't watch out, it's going to cause you to fall. That means to fall, to stumble. Somebody becomes a stumbling block in your life. Romans 8:26, do we need help in prayer? Lord, have mercy. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also, speaking of the Holy Spirit, helpeth our infirmities or weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That might be a complicated passage for some people, but it's not that complicated. It's just simply if a man has a baptism in the Holy Spirit and he speaks in tongues, he has a prayer language that's given to him that he can pray in another language. And it's a supernatural language. And it can be used in time of prayer in order to seek the Lord and to get things done in your life. I mean, because God is going to help you. And the word help is the Greek word means basically somebody who's called alongside to help you. You ever needed help in your life?
Sure.
Okay, he's come alongside you to help you. I've used it before. If you want to pick a pen up, you can't do it by yourself. You need somebody to assist you do that. So you get somebody to assist you. And that's what the Lord does. He assists us. He's not going to do it for you, but he's going to help you. He will aid you. He'll get you through it. Sometimes people say, well, I asked the Lord for help, but didn't give it to me. Well, maybe you weren't paying attention. Maybe you were trying to do it on your own and lift it by yourself. Oh, I need the Lord's help. I need help. You can stand there and lift all that and say, I need help. Everybody can look at you and say, well, I'm not going to help you. Then what are you going to do? You'll get a hernia trying to move that thing. Believe me. And so he's basically saying here that we got, you know, do we need this kind of help? Yes, we do. What do we need it for? We need it for prayer. You know very well over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I mean, we're talking about here our interesting government situation. 1 Timothy 2, where he exhorts them that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now you tell me that's easy. With all the corruption and evil you see out there. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honestly. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So this is good and acceptable in God's sight. He wants us to ask him to give us peace in this land. He wants us to pray for our leaders. And who wants to pray for some of these leaders? Be careful what I say, because some of these people are not very good. They're really wicked. And they are looking for, they're trying to cause this country to downfall. I mean, this immigration policy we got today is corrupt. There's a whole lot of corruption going on, folks. And we see, we got to pray. This is how we get our answers to things in life. This is what makes this a peaceful country, because the Christians are in the background praying for it. If my people, which are called by my name, will pray, I will hear them. I will heal their land. That's what 2 Chronicles says. I mean, God will do that. If we don't believe that, then we don't believe God can assist us. We don't believe he can help us. We don't believe that he's for us. But if anybody needs help in this time, it's America. Because America is in really, really desperate, bad shape. Because we're being deceived by the political system, by the media, the liberal media, and other people out there that are on board for all that stuff. You know, it's interesting that they try to talk about, you know, Donald Trump hates women, but they never say anything about the Democratic Party and their hate, because they support Black Lives Matter. And what are they doing? Pigs in a blanket, wrap them up, fry them like bacon? They don't ever say anything about it. But now if Donald Trump one time said, I hate women, I want to put them in a plastic bag, wrap them up, throw them in the sea, that would be hate speech, and they would jump on him and he would be killed because of that, wouldn't he? That's the way they operate. They protect themselves, but they don't care what anybody else, what anybody says. They will use it against them ruthlessly. That's the way they operate. And once you see that, you begin to have a little bit of wisdom in your life, because you see these people are basically wicked. Even a lot of Democrats are beginning to recognize who they really are. The Democratic Party's changed. It has become so ruthless and evil in the last 40 or 50 years that it's unbelievable what they're doing. And a lot of them that have been in that party will tell you that very thing. I'm not trying to be political. I'm just observing something, because if we're going to pray, we got to pray against. And you read the Psalms, you can see that David prayed against his enemies. Nothing wrong with that. We can pray for God to bring them down, for God to expose them. And we need to do that. We don't just, oh, Lord, just bless them and help us be better people and all this stuff. That don't work. I've heard these people, these ecumenical prayers that people say. That's not the way you pray for these people. Well, Lord, we pray for our enemies and we forgive them and all this stuff. The Bible tells us to do that, yes, personally. But when it comes to an overall thing, I'm not going to pray that way. I'm going to pray that God would expose who they really are, that God would bring them to justice, that he would take care of them, that he would apprehend them, and that he would stop them from ruining this country and killing people. That's what needs to happen, because nobody else is going to do it. But God is able to intervene in all of these things, and this is why this has become so important right here. And so the Word helps us to understand how to pray. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that if we ask anything according to His will. So this will help you pray if you get this understanding in your heart, 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence we have in Him, that is in Christ, that if we ask anything according to His will. Now, what are we asking? We're asking according to His will. Well, how do you know His will? It's very simple. What does His word say? If His word says it, that's His will. Then He says, if we pray that way, what's the last three words? He heareth us. And that's what we want to do, is we want to get God's ear. But the only thing God is going to hear is when somebody prays His word. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. How about that? So there's confidence in prayer that we can have here. This is a good thing, because God will help us with all of this. That's why the Holy Spirit has come along to help us in our prayer life, to be more victorious, to be conquerors, to overcome our enemies. I mean, we see in 1 Timothy 1 where He exhorted them to pray for authorities. And then in Psalms 122 and verse 6, He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that you might prosper. So praying for Israel is a very important thing to the Christian, because if we pray for them, not just we'll prosper, but we want to pray for them till God can protect them. Because they're the apple of God's eye. And God is on their side. I mean, nobody's been able to destroy them or stop them so far, and they won't be able to. Because God is on their side. He will prevent them from trying to overthrow them. And all that's going on there, you don't know how they survive over there. I mean, we're finding out something about that now with the terrorism coming to our country. The way it is, because what they're going, they go through that over there every day. Well, people are exploding and killing themselves in order to make some kind of statement. But this same thing applies for not only our authorities, it applies for Israel, it applies for the church, it applies for leadership in the church, it applies for the home, leadership in the home, it applies for leadership in our schools. Our schools are corrupt. They are just absolutely upside down corrupt. The liberals have taken them over. The Supreme Court, the judges, I mean, federal judges, all of these people are basically been appointed in order to, you know, they're liberals and their mindset is flawed. It's really been out of shape. Because what they'll do, they'll come after you if you're a conservative. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. Remember what happened to Tom DeLay in Texas? Does anybody remember what happened to him? He was a good man. But the Attorney General of Texas, who was a Democrat, came after him with a lawsuit for corruption, tied him up for 2 years in court, got him out of the political arena, and now they find that the Supreme Court has said something that's not sufficient evidence. It's too late now. They've arrested the same thing to McDonald. They've also overthrown that now, taking it back to the court. Why did they do that? Because they're liberal and they hate conservatives and they want to do everything they can to stop them from advancing forward. Now, it would surprise me. It would not surprise me if Donald Trump didn't find somebody come after him that's a Democrat attorney general and try to tie him up. They'd love to do that. And they would pay more attention to that than they would Hillary Clinton. That's what takes place in this country. That's how corrupt it is. That's why we need to pray. And we need great help. Because we don't have the common sense or the wisdom to do that without God. God is the only one that can help us. And so, I mean, John 15 and verse 16, it tells us there, it tells us that we know that when we pray, we got to pray in Jesus' name. Most people pray, you hear them say, you know, I heard one pray the other night on TV at the convention. I mean, some Methodist preacher. And when he finished, he just said, amen. But he didn't use Jesus' name. Well, you know what? Every word he said was wasted. It didn't mean a thing. So John 15 and verse 16. You read through here John 14, 15, and 16. You'll see over and over again it speaks about Jesus' name. Anything you ask, you ask in His name. Excuse me, John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained that you should go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, who's talking? Jesus. He may give it to you. So he's saying here, pray in Jesus' name. And that's not the only place you find that. I mean, so again, back to Romans 8:26. Many times we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. We need divine help. That's what Romans 8:26 is about. He helpeth us. And we need to really get that down deep into our hearts that I need God's help to be able to pray wisely and sufficiently in order for our authorities to make right decisions, in order for our enemies to be stayed and stopped and not prevail against us in this country. We need that kind of wisdom from God. We need that kind of help. And only God can give it. So if we want him to come alongside, then we got to do it God's way. 1 Peter 3:15. What about when it comes to, you know, people talk a lot about, well, what about evangelism? Or we would call it witnessing. Acts 1 verse 8 tells us that you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come, and you shall be my what? My witnesses. And so God wants us to be witnesses. That's his will. And if it's God's will, then it gives us a basis to be able to apply it to our life. People say, I want to know what God's will is. Well, read his word. You'll find it. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So he's telling you here, set apart God in your heart. I mean, be devoted to him and consecrated to him. And whatever a man sees your life and he begins to ask you a question, why you got such hope? Why you got so much joy? Why you have so much peace? Why you prosperous? Whatever it is they ask you, you have a reason of the hope inside you to answer that question with meekness, humility, and with respect. You don't do it with any harsh attitude. You do it with humility and respect. Having a good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And so, for it is better that the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So he's talking about Christ being in your life and being ahead of your life. So he gives us the ability to be able to witness. He gives us the power we need. We don't always know what to say. Would you be willing to admit that? You don't always have an answer. I mean, sometimes people can say something that can perplex you, and you think, man, I don't know how quite to answer. Let me think about this. I'll pray about it. I'll be back to you. I think they would respect that. But we look over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 21. They were persecuted, beaten. These are the Christians. This is what they do to Christians, one way or another. If it's not literally, it'll be in the media or some other way. Acts 4 and verse 21. Well, let's pick up the context. Verse 17. Here they are saying to them. Well, verse 16. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For they indeed a noble miracle hath been done by them is revealed to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So they realized a miracle had been done when this lame man was healed, and they can't deny it. So what are they going to do? They don't like it. But that they, here they come. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them. That's what they do. They threaten people, intimidate them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name, that is in Jesus' name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, will it be right in the sight of God to listen unto you more than to God? Judge ye. So in other words, we're not going to do it your way. We're going to do what God tells us to do. For we cannot but speak those things which we have seen and heard. God bless them. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all the men glorified God for which they had seen done. So what did they do? Well, they went back to their own people. After they were threatened, they came to their own people and they began to pray. We pick this up in the rest of the context if you read it, but you go down to verse 29, and here they are saying, verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. We can pray this way. Lord, look how they're threatening us. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that we may speak thy word. So they weren't going to stop speaking God's word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So here again, the Holy Spirit came down and touched them, and the place shook. I mean, there's a miracle that's taking place in order to say, I heard you, and I'll do it. And so God was on their side. And so often we find ourselves in this kind of situation. So after they were threatened, they came to their own, as the context tells us. And what did they do? Well, they said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And they committed it to the Lord. They prayed about it. Do we do that? I don't think so. Not with the fervency with which they did it. Not with the help that God has given us. We sometimes just seem to neglect the Holy Spirit that is in us. We neglect that power that is, we don't tap into it. We really don't tap into it deep enough like we should. What about financial needs? It's not always easy. Can God take care of you? Philippians 4:19 says he can, no matter what you find. People don't use things wisely. You know, you teach people to trust God, to give to the Lord, so God can prosper them. But then you find that people still don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. Just like I was telling you about the debit cards. There's a way out of any situation you find yourself in if you just take the time to think about it. You know, God also gave you a helpmate. If you're married, what's that mean? She's my frapping. She can tie me down in the chair and say, let me tell you what I want you to do. Sometimes I think she feels like that, but I understand that. But I mean, all this is, I mean, whatever you find yourself in, I mean, God can give us deliverance, healing, or whatever it might. James 5 tells us, if any man is sick and needs healing, let him call the elders together, pray on him in the name of the Lord, and he shall be healed. But he also asks in the context, let you confess your faults one to another, because there has to be a condition that goes with that. You got to deal with whatever issues are going on in your life. Because the reason there is a lot of sickness in life, in situations and circumstances in people's lives, is because of something that's going on that's deeper in the background. And we need to get those things out of our heart. I mean, how many people find themselves in bad situations? I mean, the single people, young people, are in situations where they're lonely, discouraged, full of doubts and fear. They try to do everything on their own and they begin to fail. Why do they fail? Because they're trying to do it on their own. They're kind of thinking, you know, I don't need God. That's the worst thing you could ever say in your life. Because you need him more than you think you do. Believe me. So what is the opposite of help? Helpless, without help. Now, would you like to be in that state? Helpless, without help, because there's a lot of people out there today that are looking for some kind of support, aid, and help. I mean, people look for, you know, college students looking for financial aid. There's a lot of, you know, single mothers looking for financial aid. A lot of people are looking for some kind of aid. But you know what? We got it right here. In the Word of God. We got all we will ever need if we ever tap into it. That's the question. But, you know, with opposite help, there's nobody to assist you. You're destitute of power. I mean, have you ever ran out of gas or had a flat tire? Well, if you have OnStar, you push the button and you help us on the way. Well, there's a new app out, by the way, called Circle of Six. Don't go tapping it in now. It's called Circle of Six. And so you get that, you download it, and then you got six people you can put in there that you can, if you're, it was made for school, college kids because of the rape. So all they have to do is push that button, and that message goes out to six different people. And it sets your GPS location. So help is on the way. I mean, you have aid. Now, if the world can think of something like that, how much better is God when it comes to the circle of the Bible and what he has for us? He is our aid. He's there for us. And that's a good thing to have sometimes when you're out on the road and your wife's out on the road and you have a flat tire or you have a need, push the button. But you better read the fine print, because you can be in trouble if you push it just to play delaying games. So God is one who will aid us. So you ask God, and divine help is on the way, folks. So look at Psalms chapter 3. I mean, God is better than OnStar or Circle of anything. Psalms chapter 3. Verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? How true that is today. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help from him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. Well, there is help. Because if I cry unto the Lord, he'll come to me. He'll be my aid. He'll assist me. He'll be there for me. And so when he says there's no help of him, that may be true for the world, but I don't think it's true for any Christian who's right with God. It's not true for them. Psalms 46, verse 1, he's a very present help in the time of trouble. So that means God is present in the time of trouble. And let me just remind you what Hebrews chapter 3, 13, verses 5 and 6 say. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Verse 5, Hebrews 13. Let your conversation, that is your whole lifestyle, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Same word as the other word in Hebrews 4. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we have God as I have the Lord. I mean, you ought to just put that on a piece of paper and memorize it. The Lord is my helper. No matter what I'm going through in life, he's a helper in time of temptation. He's a helper in a time of financial difficulty. He's a help in time of physical difficulty. He's a help in time of anything you're going through in life. He's there for you. Can you say that about anybody else, you know, that they're there for you? You know, God is, I mean, people say 24/7, but God is 24/7, folks. He's around all the time. He never slumbers nor sleeps. Why will God help us? Let's try to answer that question and close with that. Well, Hebrews 4:16 tells us very clearly, because you need help. It's not hard to understand that. So do you know when you need help? Hello out there, my intelligent Christians. Do you know when you need help? Then if you know when you need help, then you've got something here in Hebrews 4:16. Find grace and help to help in the time of need. So anytime you have need, God will be there for you. You know, it's his will. I mean, if it's his will, it's all we need to know to be able to ask. Asking, seeking you shall find. Asking it shall be given unto you. Knocking the door shall be open. So all you've got to do is know, hey, it's God's will for me to ask him to help me. It's not being selfish. It's not something that's wrong to do. I mean, Christians sometimes feel like, well, I don't think I should do that. Why shouldn't you? If God is your help, why wouldn't you ask him to help you? He offers it, so it's his will. So the greatest temptation when you need help from God, he says, I'll give it to you. See, the devil doesn't want you to get forgiveness. He wants to keep you in a state of guilt so he can defeat you. So where do you get forgiveness from? Do you need help for forgiveness? Do you need help with bitterness or anger? Do you need help with discouragement? Do you need help with these things in your life? Well, who's going to give it to you if God isn't? That's what you got to ask yourself. Look at Isaiah chapter 41. Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, what more encouragement would you need than that? Listen to what he says. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And he says, don't be dismayed, for I am thy God. So this is what you've got right here, folks. It's all through the Bible. I mean, Isaiah 50, verse 7. Isaiah 50, verse 7, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded or confused. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Well, it's the devil. Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of the servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Because that's where your help's going to come from. It's from him. It's nowhere else. In Psalms 37. Verse 40. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked, shall save them because they trust in him. So that's what we got in these days we live. I mean, we're living in the days of Noah. When he says there will be, one of the things that will be a sign of the days of Noah will be violence. And we see that today. I mean, it's increasing every day. Every time you turn around, it's another killing, another murder, another bombing. It's violence, folks. Just like it was in the days of Noah. Sometimes we wonder what the days of Noah were like, but maybe we're getting a little picture of it now. But he says here, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked, because that's what they are. They're wicked. They're pure wicked. They have no conscience. They have no sense of wrong. They've lost all sense of right. And he does this because we trust in him, is what he says here. Then look at Psalms 115. We've already read all of this anyways, where he says 9, 10, 11. He is their help because he trusts in them. Three times we read it at the beginning. So when we come and ask help, will God help us? Okay, let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9. 4 through 9. This is Jehoshaphat in the day when the enemies were coming against him. Jehoshaphat was a good king. And verse 3 tells us, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. And Judea gathered themselves together to ask what? Help. Of the Lord, even of the cities of Judea, they came to seek the Lord. And the Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, and he's praying, O Lord, of our fathers, art not thou in heaven that rulest? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Oh, how about that? Does God rule over even the kingdom of the heathen? Yes, he does. And in thy hand is there my power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? They dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein, for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then will thou hear and help. So that's what we need to do again. We need to come, when we see these exact things happening, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, and we come in his house and we seek him and we pray, and he says, thou will hear and thou will help. If we believe it, then we will do it. So we've seen God help many times. We've seen that take place. God always does that. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. You see examples of that all through the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. Remember Asa? And Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa. So he defeated his enemies. Why? Because he cried unto the Lord. But then you turn around and you go over to 2 Chronicles 16. And you read the context here. There's a time when Asa he sought not the Lord. So this is what happens when you don't seek the Lord. The Let's pick up the context of this. Verse 10, that Asa was wroth with the seer, the prophet, who put him in prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people same time. Now he's turning in a wrong direction. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in his 30th and 9th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. So judgment came on Asa, until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. It's not wrong to go to the physician. That's not what he's saying there. He just said he didn't bother to put the Lord in the equation at all. He left him out. He totally left him out. And so he ended up dying, and his 40th year of his reign. What a waste. He sought not the Lord, didn't ask for help. All he had to do was ask him. So we need to be very careful how we act, and we don't try to handle everything on your own, thinking, I can do it. I don't need the Lord. I'm capable of handling it on my own. Oh, really? Asa's thought that, apparently, because he didn't bother to put the Lord in the equation. No matter what you're going through, no matter which situation you find yourself in, it's not wrong to say, Lord, I need wisdom, I need guidance, I need help. It's not wrong to do that. Because if you leave him out, you're leaving out aid and assistance that you might need in this life. And so unbelief stands outside of God's will and plan, and it causes us to end up in bad situations. You know, when it comes to faith, I mean, 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 explains to us something about faith that few people really grasp in life. And that is, what is eternal and what is temporal? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, or we say easy tribulations, distresses, which is but for a moment, so they're only temporary, but they're working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How have they done that? Next verse, while we look not at the things which are seen. So we're not looking with our five, we're not letting our five senses operate. What we see, smell, taste, touch, I mean, those things don't operate in the eternal realm. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are but temporal. But things which are not seen are eternal, everlasting, invisible to the eye. So we got to look to the eternal, which is looking to God. And always go back over to chapter 3, verse 18, to look at the eternal. Here it is right here. But we all with open face, or in a mirror, beholding as in a mirror the glory. So what do we see in God's word? We see the glory of the Lord. And what is it doing to us? We are changed from the same image, changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So God is changing us as we look into the word, because the word reveals to us who God is, what he's like. And we're partaking of his nature. We're becoming more like him. So that's looking to the eternal. And we got to learn to keep our eye. The hardest thing to do in this life is to get your eyes off of what you see. The things that are right before you. The circumstances. You got to get your eyes off that, and you got to focus on, what does God say about my little situation right here? What does God say about my children? What does God say about my finances? What does God say about my family? What does God say? Because what he says is eternal. What you see is just temporal. Yeah, we're all going to die one day. It's going to happen. But we don't have to die young. And we don't have to die sick. We don't. I'm just saying, you know, it just depends on how you look at things, folks. And a lot of times people are not looking at things the way God sees them. But I think it takes a little bit of humility, too, in our lives. Or let's say a whole lot of put on the apron of humility. James 4 and verse 6, remember what it says? Who does God give grace to? Now, we want to come to the throne of grace, and we certainly want help in the time of need, then we better take heed to what James chapter 4 says. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace. I like that. Wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So a man who's willing to lower himself down and admit his wrong, and he says, I need help. So when you're saying, I don't need any help, you're being proud. You're resisting God's assistance to your life. So you got to come to the place that humility becomes a very important thing in your life. You know, you go back over to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and you read a very, very important thing. Second Chronicles 26. Verse 1, and all the people of Judea took Uzziah, who was 16 years old. Now, he was a young fellow, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Elah and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his father. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. Mentions his mother's name. Then in verse 4, he said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. Listen to this verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he did what? Sought the Lord. Made him to prosper. And then verse 6. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians, and dwelt in Gerbaal and Mahums. And things began to go a little south for him. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. So he got strong. He got a little proud, okay? Oh, big proud. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him the 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood him and said unto him, it appertaineth not thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and the consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, and it shall it be for thy honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense of the altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from hence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord has smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper from the day of his death, and dwelt in a several houses, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So Uzziah was a good man until a certain point in his life he got lifted up. Pride came into his life, and he wanted to do incense, something that was left to the priest to do. He got himself out of order. He usurped the authority of the priest, and when he did that, God judged him for that. And so you can see what happened when a man stops seeking the Lord. So you got to be very careful. He crossed a line. He wasn't supposed to burn the incense. So there's some things that are people are to do and some things people are not to do. So many of us have been around a whole long time. But at the same time, we get stuck in our own ways. We get to thinking that we know what is right, and we don't always know what is right. We don't always have the wisdom. We don't always pray about a circumstance or situation. We just think, well, I've done this before. I know how to do it. That doesn't mean it's going to work the second time that way. You go back and read about David. He stopped, when he stopped and asked the Lord, should I go pursue them? He waited on the Lord. He had the grace to wait two times. God knows we need the grace to wait, that we can ask God for the wisdom that we need in every situation. But it's easy to get stuck in your ways, and you trust in your own wisdom and your flesh, and before you know it, you become like the Laodicean church. Revelation chapter 3, I'll close with this. You know what they said? We don't have need of anything. Now, folks, when you come to that place, you have backslidden. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So that's not a very good term. He's just basically saying, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, blind, and naked. So this is their condition of their whole life here. We don't have need of anything. We're okay. We're just fine. And he said, well, you don't see how wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked you are. You don't see how destitute things really are. And sometimes we are in that same situation where we are blinded to the things that are going on around you. And we say, well, it's self-righteous. It's a curse of self-righteousness. That's what it is. Because when we get in that kind of place, we are proud and arrogant, and then things don't go well for us. So this is when God will have to take us and do a little frapping in our life. Probably really sure. Maybe some chastisement. I don't know. Whatever he's got to do. But God wants to help us. He wants to assist us. And he'll assist us wherever we need it. He's there for us. You can count on him. He is your aid. He is your assistance. He will support you. Do you believe that? Well, take it with you. Hold on to it. Because this is what we need in this hour in which we live. More than ever. Bow your hearts with me, please. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the great assistance that you promised to give us, the support, the aid, the help. And we know, Lord, there's never a time that you will not help us if we would but seek your face. The psalmist said one time, when the Lord said unto me, seek thou my face, I said, thy face will I seek. May that be true for all of us, Lord, that we would have that heart to do that, to seek your face, which means just to simply seek your presence. You have promised, Lord, that you would be a very present help in the time of trouble. You're never absent. And we believe that. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us in whatever situation we find ourselves when we seek after your face, that you would be there for us, that you would hear us, and that you would give us the wisdom and the guidance that we need in this life, that we might be able to be free and victorious and overcome and be a good testimony to others around us. And we thank you for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name.